Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, good evening, and welcome back to Facebook Live. Just glad to have you with us this evening, and I pray that tonight, as we're going to deal with our last chapter, this will be the last session on our series that we've called Suffering Loss. And we've been dealing with the subject of those who are in grief and those who have suffered great loss, and in particular, those who've been traumatized by loss and major events of their life, and not necessarily just death or whatever, but just about any type of event of life that may have caused a grief and a suffering. And we've dealt with the suffering that's associated with loss. And we've been putting scripture to it as much as we possibly can to try to see if we can help someone find the comfort and the healing of the broken heart. And so it's our goal and our aim to do that. And tonight we're going to deal with our last session. If you missed any of these sessions and would like to go back and catch up, we're at www.housechurchesusa.com, and our Oikos Ministry is the name of our website there, and you could go on there and navigate through the site and find YouTube's podcasts, all kind of ways to listen and go back and catch up, or just visit our Oikos Ministries House Church page, and you could join that way and listen as well. So we're glad you're with us. And tonight we're going to deal with the last chapter from a very familiar passage of scripture called the 23rd Psalm. So we'll be in there tonight, Psalm 23. And I'm going to read it through, and then we'll go back and kind of talk our way through it. And so, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Wonderful, wonderful psalm, very familiar passage, a comforting psalm, if you would. But when you think about this, this is King David's writing. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we know King David was called being a shepherd, a young man who tended the flocks and knew well the shepherd's work and the shepherd's task. And very often, I mean, even me as a pastor, I've fed the flock of God for 41 years now. And what you deal with is the idea of the shepherd. We are also sheep of his pasture. I mean, I help shepherd and feed the sheep, but I want to tell you that I am one of God's sheep. And King David is writing this from the perspective. Here was a shepherd who was he tended the sheep, and now he was the shepherd of the flock of Israel as king over Israel and led God's people. And so he understood well that he was feeding God's people, but he also understood from the perspective, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We also need the shepherd. And the good shepherd, there's no replacement, that we have one good shepherd, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so King David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that word "want," "I will not be lacking." You know, the shepherd's task was to put the sheep, leading them to, you know, good pasture, to feed, lead them in the right directions and places of rest. And you know, as a cattleman myself, I deal with livestock. And one of the key rules of having healthy livestock, you don't want your animal to suffer one day of stress in its entire life. I mean, if you're trying to bring a product to fruition, you want to bring a calf or a kid of the flock to fullness and full fruition. You don't want that animal to have one day of stress. You want it to be at peace all of its life and bring full fruition. Now, we understand that everything on this earth and everything from hell beneath is attacking God's people to disrupt the idea of rest, to disrupt the idea of trying to really get into that great condition, the favorable conditions for peaceful growth. And, you know, there's a great passage in the book of Acts when the Apostle Paul literally came to Christ. And if you read it in the end of Acts chapter 9, he had just gotten radically saved and born again by the presence of the Lord. And then it says at the very end, it says, and then all the churches had rest. And it's amazing when the enemy ceases to pursue, then the churches have rest and they begin to grow exponentially. It's a wonderful thing. And so he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The word for want is to be lacking, that there's something, you know, and just the very idea. Now remember, we're specifically talking about grief. And if I jump ahead a little bit, it says, he restoreth my soul. The actual restoration of the soul is where we're going with this. But when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the very idea is that to be in lack. And when we have suffered loss, there is something we're wanting. It's human nature to want back what you lost. If you had it in possession, it's been yours, you've been attached to it, you've been in a relationship with it, then when it's gone, you want it back. I mean, it's just human nature. It's just what we do. Our souls become tied to it. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so when we've lost some significant person, it's so hard in my position, you know, when I'm trying to lead someone through and navigate the hard waters of grief and tragedy and loss and all that, to say, you know, to spiritualize what you physically lost. Hey, the Lord wants to fill the void. Let God be in there. You know, all those are good things to say, but the person cannot seem to grasp that most of the time. But King David understood it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he begins to talk about the journey between the shepherd leading the sheep. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, what's amazing to me in every one of the conditions you're going to see here, lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters, leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In all of these conditions, when you start looking at the Hebrew words for these things, every one of them has a restful and a peaceful connotation to it. That when you're led by the Lord, he's bringing you to the places that will inevitably lead you to a place of the best nurture possible. But the one thing that we cannot avoid is the idea that in life, Jesus said it and assured us, in this world we will have tribulation. There are hardships that come. And I believe it's even in those when we do suffer loss. Remember, even though we are the recipients, as Christians, we're the recipients of the promise of eternal life. And so we know the spirit and soul will live forever, and eventually we'll get a resurrected body that will live together as well. The point is that though everything around us is temporal, including our physical bodies at the present. And so we know this, that we're going to suffer loss because everything's temporary. However, when we lose something, we go, what happened here? We just can't seem to wrap our brain around it. It's almost like we think that everything's permanent for some reason. Our minds deceive us, and we certainly don't want things to change. We don't want it to be disrupted. But remember, the Lord is my shepherd. And even if we've suffered loss, we have to come back to the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And even though your soul may be in want at that moment, you've lost your love, you've lost your best friend, you've lost your spouse, you've lost a family member, you've lost finance or a job, or you can fill in the blank. You've suffered loss and you feel like you are in want and there is a void. At some point, I believe the real power of God is to bring your mind back. And we're going to get to it in just a second, to bring your mind back that the Lord is your shepherd, that he's leading you. And look, there are going to be some days that are not so pleasant in the Christian journey. And it's an amazing thing that there is this kind of thinking and teaching these days that we never, you know, everything's going to be roses and everything's wonderful and your best life is now and everything's prosperity and goodness and money and happiness and health. And dude, it ain't always that way. It just is not. And someone put on Facebook earlier today, I was really, it was profound. It says, you know, if financial blessing it can't be the sign of God blessing you with money, because it's the same thing the devil offered you to worship him. I said, well, that's profound. So if the devil's offered us everything in the world to worship him, why is that a sign of us being blessed by God when we have the world? It's a good thought to ponder. Yet we get our souls attached to things of this life, and when we lose them, we're very upset. And sometimes it's hard to get back to the idea that the Lord is my shepherd. We almost feel like, God, why did you do this to me? Or why did you take this from me? Why am I going through this? We ask these whys, and it's like, wow, this is the way of this life. There, it's not a maybe. It's not an if. It's a when. When are we going to suffer loss? When will a hard time hit? When will we lose something? And you may go through the life and just almost never have a grief in your day, but one day you will die. This is a fact you cannot avoid. We will face it. Keep reading. Watch what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. And so when we consider the idea of that restful place, green pastures with fresh food and lots to eat, and the serenity of lying still and just grazing and just having a stressless, peaceful existence there. He leads me beside the still water. It's a proven fact that the sheep cannot drink out of a running stream. A sheep, the way their nostrils are built, if he sticks his nose in a running stream, it could drown the animal. Literally, the water will gush right into the nasal passage and the sinus cavity and could kill the animal. So the shepherd finds a place where there's an eddy, or else digs an eddy out where the still water will come through, and he'll let the sheep quench their thirst there. He leadeth me beside the still water, the place where I can drink to quench the thirst of life. And again, the connotation, he leadeth me beside still, be still and know the peaceful place, the place where my thirst is quenched. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I love this passage. He restoreth my soul. The restoration of the soul is so important. Now, to this point in the 23rd Psalm, we've not seen anything that leads to tragedy. We're building up into this peaceful existence with God and this wonderful thing that Jesus is leading us and is feeding us, and he's taking care of us, and everything's going great. Wow. Awesome. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now he says he restores my soul. And so the daily restoration that I've learned to enjoy, we when my wife and I pray daily, we count our blessings on this. The daily restoration, his mercies are new every morning. And the restoring of the soul, spirit, soul, the mind, the emotion, the will, the refreshing, if you would. Again, that connotation, he restoreth my soul, he refreshes, he causes my soul to return to its origin of health, of wellness, of well-being. And so whatever we may have gone through the day before, it just continues to build and literally the peaceful existence. But the restoring of soul, it's going to come back to us in just a minute, but I'm laying the scenario. Here he is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not lacking. I'm not in want. He's leading me. He's making me lie down in green pastures, leading me beside the still waters. He's restoring my soul. Man, I'm in a good way. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want you to see this. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Now, I want you to see this word, because we visited before. The path of righteousness, when we look at this idea, you remember we've talked about those who've walked through trauma. We've talked about the human brain, the physical human brain, that we are conditioned. And in the brain, like a vinyl record, we have grooved patterns of thought. And when I was studying all this, the paths are tracks of righteousness that our minds begin to, the longer we develop a habitual pattern of thought, especially when we've been renewed in the spirit of the mind, we've learned to become followers of Christ. We are trusting that the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, look, for his name's sake, for his glory. And where he's leading us in paths of righteousness, the tracks that our minds run on are for his glory. Wow. all these things, such wonderful places to be. And you say, what's this got to do with grief? Well, let's read the next verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Man, what a downer in this one. Bummer, dude. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so here we are in this wonderful existence in the flock of God. Jesus, our good shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, leading me in a place without lack, green grass, fresh water, restoring my soul daily in paths of righteousness. My mind is working on a track to run on that is righteous for His name's sake. Man, I can bring Him great glory in this existence. And all of a sudden, yeah. Y-E-A. That's how it's spelled in the King James. Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, help me now. The valley of the shadow of death. Now, when we think of valley, the first thought we have, you know, we got this soft rolling that I love. I live in the hills and we got some little valleys there and they're so sweet, nice. They're rolling. They're wonderful places. They're most, probably the most fertile places in our properties is in the valley. But let me say this, folks. I don't think this is pointing to that type of valley. It literally looks more like a deep trench or gorge. And when you take a narrow place like that, if you've gone into the mountain areas or anywhere and you've seen a gorge, a deep gorge, I want to tell you the daylight in the bottom of that gorge is less than anywhere else. Geographically, and because of the way the terrain is built, certainly you're going to get less sunlight and less light at the base of that gorge. I'm going to tell you your daylight is very limited in the bottom of that valley. You understand that? And you see, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is no geographical difference from anything else that you're dealing with in your life. What seems is that what's creating the deep gorge is the shadow of death. Now, I want to tell you, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I've walked through it so many times now in these years that when I walk with somebody literally to their death, I've done it, wow, more times than I want to recount. But walking... You know, I say that. Let me recant with that. I think it's one of the highest honors I've ever done to walk somebody all the way to death. It ain't pretty. It ain't fun. It ain't pleasant. But when I think, like I was with my dad when he died, 91 years old, 91. When I think that I watched 91 years breathe his last, the history, everything that he ever was, everything that ever will be, all the sum total, I watched him breathe his last. You understand how many times I've done that? It's over and over again, I've watched a person breathe their last. I remember one, they pronounced him dead, and the doctor said, he looked at me and he went, and all the family left, and me and that doctor stood there, and he just held his wrist, you know, just, you know how they do. And we stood there what seemed like an eternity, and he said, now he's gone. And I think it's terrible. A life is gone. But I look at the sum total of that life. I feel like there's something very spiritual, very, I mean, almost awesome that I saw the end of the sum total. And to me, it's a humbling thing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and when I've watched cancers ravage a body, when I've watched other sicknesses take people that I'm very close to and that I love very dearly and watch them step by step by step by step, you're in the valley of the shadow. Death is casting a shadow over you. It even creates a double whammy that when they die, you've grieved the whole time with them as they're passing, and they pass and then you grieve again. It's like a whole nother weird grief. Now they're gone. And there's a point that you feel really weird. It's like, whew, I'm glad they're not suffering. But then on the other side, you feel guilty. Oh, my God, why do I feel good that they just passed? It's a terrible, how am I supposed to feel here? Who's going to write a book on that? You're supposed to feel that. I don't think you're supposed to feel anyway. I think just let the gravity of that moment just deal with you. I mean, wow. when I consider being privileged to be there, that somebody wanted me there for the comfort of their last days and last moments, I find it an awesome privilege. I don't care who they are. If you want me there, I'm in it with you. But when death casts that shadow over you, see, I believe death represents a stench that we just, it's so against the grain of everything I believe in. I am a preacher of life. I believe in the righteousness of life. I believe that Jesus Christ promises us eternal life. I believe the gift of life, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I preach life. And even in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm preaching and praying life, life, life. I'm relentless here. I believe in life. I have no existence with death. I hate sickness and disease, which are incipient death. Left unattended, a common cold would kill you. And so I hate death. I don't like what it stands for. I don't like its origin. I don't like what it does to people. And I thank God that He sent us literally the antidote for death through the blood of Jesus Christ and the life of Christ Himself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I want to tell you, when the shadows of death begin to literally create a gorge, that you feel like you're at the bottom of the valley and it's just a darkness. You can't see hope on either side. The shadow is cast over you and death, sickness, disease are literally shading everything over you. And there seems like no light would come through. What can we do here? I will fear no evil. Boy, when you're in that place, you say, wow. Everything wants to make you afraid. There's something, you know, before I became a Christian, I'd go in a hospital room and I was the most awkward person on this planet. I had no idea what to say or what to do. I just didn't know what to do. It's weird, but I'm so comfortable in a hospital room now, by a deathbed or by a sick person. I feel like, wow, I'm right at home. I can't think of very many better places to minister in America. But what I know is that when death casts the shadow, everything in your whole psyche wants to be afraid. You want to panic. You want to like, oh my goodness, they're dying. They're dying. What to do? What to do? How can I help? What can I stop? I can't stop. What can I do? I will fear no evil. I want to tell you, death is The especially sickness and disease, these are evil things. All of that's evil. I believe it all comes from the curse of the law. It all comes from the original of sin, the origins of sin and the fall of man. But let me tell you, the remedy for that is near. I will fear no evil. And the thing that's a constant in my own heart and mind is that when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death with a person, is that I know the Lord is still my shepherd. I will not want. I'm right there in the depth of the darkness. It don't get no darker. It just don't get worse. When I can't help this person not suffer. I can't help them not inevitably go where they're going, the way of the whole world. And I go, what can I do? I'll fear no evil. I'll not let a voice talk to me and tell me this is it or final. I'll not let a voice make me afraid. I remember when my daddy expired. I mean, everything from hell tried to make me panic. I mean, I just changed shift with my nephew and he hadn't gone long and we had a talk right there and dad was, you know, he's about in the same shape he'd been in and all of a sudden I said, oh, wow, daddy's gone. It just blew me away. I was expecting it, but I wasn't expecting it. And there was almost a panic moment. And I'm like, wow, I'm watching 91 years go. I'll fear no evil. I'm not going to fear death. I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I consider the rod of God, which literally represents His authority. When we look to the Good Shepherd, we've seen pictures of the shepherd with his staff, rod and staff. It seems to be a distinction between the two here. One seems to be authority, power, almost the corporal punishment that shepherd's holding that staff and will whack anything comes near. He will wield this authority and make sure this sheep is protected. But the staff, the idea of a steadying walking stick, something that helps you along, the steadiness in the whole journey, that a stabilizing factor, that as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, secured by the shepherd, I'm protected, I'm steadied, I'm upheld, I'm walking along. This is also part of leading into paths of righteousness' sake. We cannot avoid the fact that sin entered the world and death by sin, and death spread to all men. And the last enemy that God will ever destroy is death itself. And he will put death under the feet of Jesus. Oh, I can't wait to see it happen. And when we see death fully gone, fully expired, fully defeated, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The strength of sin is death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you today, yea, though I walk through the valley, death may have cast its shadow over you. Hear me carefully. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let me tell you a secret. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my shelter. He is my fortress in God. In him will I trust. You understand, no plague will come nigh my dwelling. And when we begin to walk in the when the shadow of the Almighty begins to overwhelm the shadow of death, you see, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, if we'll remember that we're still being led by the good shepherd of our soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that even in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm to bring him glory. And though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Hebrews chapter 13 says that we're to render unto him the calves of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. Y'all, it's easy to praise the Lord in Baskin and Robbins, in 30 wonderful flavors, and all that ice cream. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ice cream is praise the Lord. But when your loved one is expiring right in front of you, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's led me to the path of righteousness. He's led me here. And the path of righteousness, the track that my brain runs on, that death is literally trying to tell me, curse God and die. Death is trying to say, shake your fist. Death is saying, be mad. Death is saying, oh, cry out and blame God. No, but let me tell you, the paths of righteousness, the track this brain runs on is, thank you, Jesus. You've led me here to bring you glory. Even when my loved one dies, thank him for all things. Thank him in all things. Oh, I can't do that. You don't understand God then. I can't thank him for this. Why can't we thank him for it? Because you don't want to? I can't thank him for someone dying. Why not? Tell me one reason God ain't worthy of thanks and praise. One reason. Give me one reason. Thank you, Jesus. Just because it didn't go the way you think it ought to doesn't mean God ain't worthy. You know, there is a devil. Why we always got to blame God at times like this? There is a devil. There is a natural course of life. Why we have to blame anything here? Why can't we, like Job, learn the lesson, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Huh? Come on, y'all. Or we could just fall into worldly grief and let death kill two instead of one. We could fall into worldly grief. I mean, look, I am not trying to stop anyone from grieving. I say, go for it. Weep your heart out. Cry and weep aloud that you've lost your friend, your loved one, your job, your... Weep, weep. whatever it might be that you've lost. You've suffered great loss. I believe it's a great honor and privilege that God gave us in creation to weep, to grieve. It's a healer. And as we pour our heart out and weep, it's God dwells near those who are a broken and a contrite spirit. There's no greater place to experience the glory of God. When you bring God into your grief, God, I hurt. God, I am sorrowing beyond thought. I can't even comprehend it. I don't know what to do here. Meet me here, God. Have mercy on me. Love me. Just let me have your presence. Oh, he'll meet you there. Humble yourself. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yeah, look, there's a shadow called death, but there's a shadow called the Almighty. And when we dwell under that shadow, it's bigger than anything death can throw at us. Listen carefully. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You want to talk about, let's revisit restoring my soul? When you've had the hit in the shadow of death, the restoration of the soul is vital at this point. The restoration of your mind, your emotion, your reasoning, the will is vital. And so when we look at the idea of restore, or literally going back on the track to run on, returning, literally it means to return to the Lord. He restores my soul. He restores my mind, my emotion, my will. Now we've talked in many sessions on this time about refusing to be comforted and this type of thought. But it's in these types of scenarios where we say, God, I need your restoration. And God wants to do this. He wants to restore you. When the times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord, he could restore you as you let God heal your broken heart, as you reconnect. Now watch carefully where this goes. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. What a wonderful passage. You say, well, these seem disjointed. They don't make much sense until you start looking at it from this perspective. Yeah, you just walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Your soul has been rocked. You have literally been through it. You smelled death. It's all around you. And you said, now he prepares a table. Let me tell you, if you don't think death will talk to you, you ain't never walked through death, folk. Death will talk to you. Sickness and disease will talk to you. They'll mess with your head. You preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love the way King David articulated the idea of being overwhelmed by the enemy. To me, it's a picture. Now, of course, King David was literally in combat, battle, and warfare as a king of Israel, and physically Old Testament warfare, fighting physical opponents. But I believe the devils and the same thing that attack our souls were attacking him as well. And when I read things like Psalm 3, how art thou increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many who say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. I believe so many times the enemies of our soul overwhelm our thoughts and bring our thoughts into such a place of, oh, every fear that we've ever known comes to us. It comes calling. It comes to visit. You're going to die. You're next. Oh, now what you going to do? Oh, I took your loved one. Oh, all these enemies are whispering in your ear. And you're going, oh, what to do, what to do, what to do? And you know, here's what God's doing. He's setting a table. He put the best tablecloth on there, and he gets out the good silverware. And you go, oh, I'm frantic. And he's cooking in the kitchen, and I mean, the smells are going, and it's like, and the demons are just, oh yeah, we killed your life. Yeah. Everything, the hordes of hell are in your head, in your emotion, and God's steady preparing the meal. And he sets the table. And you're in a panic, and he said, let's have communion. Let's visit. Let's sit right here and eat and let the devil scream. Ain't this good? Don't I cook good? Ain't my food good? How about some of this manna from heaven right now? How about some living water right now? How about, come on, let's break this bread. Come on, let's drink this cup. Come on, I'm going to just enjoy. The oil of gladness is fixing to run over this thing, the joy and the fellowship right in here. But God, I feel bad. My loved one just died. Hey, I ain't dying. There ain't no death in God. I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. Now you need to understand that and live. Come on, eat some bread. You got to live. Eat. Drink. Commune with me. Fellowship with me. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. And it brings us into life. And we commune. That's the same word, communion, fellowship, koinonia in the New Testament. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What I'm telling you, folks, the greatest opportunity for communion with God is right there when everything is screaming at your soul about the loss you've just endured. And God says, meet me here. I'm going to quiet your soul. I'll nourish you right through it. Oh, I'll anoint your head with, man, I'll put so much of the Holy Ghost on you. Come eat with me. Come on, sit with me a minute. Let's eat together and I'll fill you full of the Holy Ghost and He will heal your broken heart and you'll think right. I don't know if it's proper to speak in tongues right here, but I really want to. I done preached myself happy. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, I love it. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Look, I want you to understand this. No matter what you're going through, you know what's coming right behind you? Absolutely, positively. Verily, verily, surely, surely, amen, amen, truly, truly, I'm telling you right now, you might be going through the valley of the shadow of death, but what's behind the saint of God is goodness and mercy following up. God is your rear reward. He's right behind you with goodness and mercy. Oh, and He will uphold you through time of loss and grief and hardship. You might be hurting to say, this is the final blow my heart can take. God said, no, it ain't. Goodness and mercy gonna fill you up. Come on, man. I'm happy again. I done preached myself again. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. You know what forever and ever means? No end in sight. I'm going to dwell with God forever? Wait a minute. Death just claimed something. The temporal just fell apart. And now all of a sudden I'm having this assurance forever and ever. Even though I'm in a dying physical body, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Hear me, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not let death take two, ever. Hear me, there's life after death. Even if I die, I'm going to live. And even if the Christian dies, he's going to live. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so what I want to encourage you tonight is that you offer up the calves of the lips, the sacrifice of praise. He said, but I don't feel like it. It seems so inappropriate. It doesn't seem right. Y'all, you don't have to have a Pentecostal spasm, but I can tell you, you could lift your hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for where I am right now. Thank you, Lord, my shepherd. You led me to this spot. And I don't know what you're going to do. All I know is this. When you were about to get killed, you said, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bear much fruit. God, I just can't wait to see how much fruit you're fixing to bear. You're a fruit-bearing God. And though you take what I love the most right here, I know it's going to bear fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold. We ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, what a wonderful thing in God. Y'all, I ain't going no further. That's it. Render unto the Lord the calves of your lips. You know, in the Old Testament, when it was time to worship the Lord, it was hard on the livestock. You had to kill something. You killed a calf, a cow, you know, bull, goat, sheep, pigeon, turtle dove. Something had to die, man. Something had to bleed. But let me say this. The last offering was made at the cross 2,000 years ago. Jesus literally is the fulfillment of the law and the end of the law for righteousness. That the righteous requirement of the law was met. That when a sin is committed, blood must be shed. Now the perfect blood of the Son of God bled once and for all. That's it. And all we can do is render the thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for your one perfect offering. You have made this worshiper perfect. I can offer you perfect praise and thanksgiving. Bless you, Lord. I thank you tonight. I want to tell you today, if you've suffered a great loss, you've had trouble dealing with grief, I want you to stop right where you are. Go in the privacy of your own secret place and lift your hands to God and say, God, I may have said some gosh awful things. I may have thought some terrible things, but you're so good. You're so worthy. I want to thank you for everything you've led me through. Surely I know your goodness and mercy are following up. I thank you, Lord, that you are my shepherd and I shall not want. You're going to fill this void in my heart. You have led me continually by the green pastures. You have always brought me to the still water. You have led me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I can bring you glory anywhere. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Your rod, your staff, you're comforting me now. Man, just raise your hands and worship him right through this psalm. Just tell him with your whole heart, prepare a table before me, Lord, because the enemies are really increased. They're really at my mind. They're at my emotions. Lord, prepare a table. Let's me and you commune. And I pray that you'll put your oil on my head. Let it just anoint me fully. And let this goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you for joining us. I pray that tonight every person out there with a broken heart would hear these messages and be healed. Jesus came to do it. Call on him. We love you. God bless you. If we can help you anyway, contact us through our webpage at www.housechurchesusa. Give us a little message on Facebook, whatever. Just get in touch with us. We'd be glad to pray with you, help you any way we can. God bless. See you.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.